Blog Talk Radio.
Look inside, look inside your tiny mind, and look a bit harder, 'cause we're so unsafe, so sick and tired of all the hatred you harbor. Oh, you say it's not a trait to be gay. Well, I think you're just evil. You're just a racist. You can't hide my racist. Your point of view is medieval.
Welcome to Kitchen Politics 1-2, the radio show. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Laurie Pica from Michigan. I hope everyone is doing well, and we have a nice show lined up.
Yes, it's March 9, 2023. It's a Thursday, beautiful Thursday night. Season 4, Episode 18. The topic is, let's share the truth about the Republican Party. When people tell you and show you who they are, believe them. The GOP claim they are for family values, that they're pro-life, that they're pro-free speech when it suits them, pro-Second Amendment ad nauseum, pro-death penalty, pro-Russia, pro-Putin, anti-woman, anti-LGBTQ, pro-white nationalist, and anti-immigration political movement. They've embraced the dregs of society and resist change as the world moves forward in the 21st century. Why are they like this? Is it too late for the Republican Party to change their malicious evil ways? Is there anyone in the current GOP with morals left? Are you witnessing the party of Lincoln and Ike in the last throes of existence? Will our democracy survive if the GOP retakes the White House in 2024 and, God forbid, the U.S. Congress? Tell us what you think, America. Call us in at 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. And please be considerate and mute your television and any background noise, as it's distracting to both me and Laurie as the host and to listeners, you know, who are listening to the show. Thanks for vibing with us and sharing across all social media. Subscribe to facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. Check out our new website. It's kitchenpolitics123.com. Kitchen Politics 123 radio show. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. So, Laurie, the January 6th committee has recommended Trump face criminal charges, and added to which there's this new breaking news about the payoff about Stormy Daniels. The DA is likely to indict him on the hush money that did a probe and everything. And he's in a world of trouble because not only in Georgia, but this case here in New York where he paid off Stormy Daniels, the adult film star. And, you know, I'm going to play a clip here from MSNBC, Aaron Malbar. It's a four-minute clip, and just, you know, to give you a backdrop of what this is about.
Breaking news that we're just getting in a story crossing from the New York Times, citing four sources about potential indictment of Donald Trump in New York. This is the kind of leak, the kind of indication you may have heard before and said, well, are we back to more and more discussion about a possible indictment that will never come. The answer, I can't give you tonight. What I can tell you is the New York Times says, with more than two sources here, a full four sources, that the DA in New York is looking at campaign hush money payments, the somewhat infamous payments that Donald Trump made, and that part is known and proven, to Stormy Daniels pursuant to the 2016 campaign, what many saw as a cover-up, but something that's never been charged. Here's the headline according to the New York Times. Prosecutors signal criminal charges for Trump are likely. Indeed, according to this reporting, DA Alvin Bragg, who's been on this program, indeed, to explain why they didn't go forward on the discussion of potentially charging Donald Trump pursuant to financial crimes at the Trump Organization, where his CFO was famously convicted, the DA's office here in New York now moving forward, and it says, according to the New York Times, in this brand new story, just crossing, that they've given Donald Trump the opportunity to appear before the New York grand jury. Based on the way that Donald Trump has fought many different probes, including this one, there's no reasonable expectation that his lawyers would put him in the grand jury box. Indeed, he went many months fighting the related New York Attorney General request to sit down. When he did, he only pled the fifth, never gave any substantive answers. But this is a big headline, albeit somewhat familiar. The story familiar because other prosecutors and other investigative entities have looked through those 2016 hush money payments before, and familiar because we've seen Donald Trump, basically, I think everyone knows by now, evade certain probes. But this is a sign, according to the New York Times, that the DA's office is, they say, very close to considering closing this case with some sort of indictment. I want to bring in two reporters who know how to do breaking news, which means we're in this together. They haven't had much time to prepare for this story because, as mentioned, it just broke. But Pulitzer Prize-winning Washington Post columnist Gene Robinson and Congressional Investigations reporter Jackie Palamany. And Gene, I'm curious what you think when you see this kind of language, particularly as a journalist. You know that the New York Times doesn't just cross a story about indicting a former president lightly. What do you think they have here?
Well, I think the New York Times would have very good sources in the Manhattan DA's office. And so, no, they wouldn't publish such a story lightly. You said they are quoting four sources. That's a lot of sources. So it seems likely that in the view of the people who talk to the Times, the prosecutor's office is moving towards charges on the hush money payments. Now, you know, that seems like so many felonies ago at this point. And I think it's going to seem like that to a lot of people. But there is an important principle. It's called the law, and it's called that everyone is supposed to be equal before the law, and that includes Donald Trump. And it has not included Donald Trump thus far in his life, but if he committed offenses here, and I think the record suggests that he certainly did, then, you know, he really should be charged, and he should have to face the music. And, you know, who knows how serious a conviction would be when we're talking about any sort of sentencing of any, you know, of any sort if he were convicted. But unless it would be accountability, and that is what our system is supposed to be about. Everybody's supposed to be accountable.
Okay, so the Manhattan District Attorney's Office signaled that Donald Trump could face criminal charges for his alleged role in hush money payments to Stormy Daniels just days before the 2016 election. This is according to the four sources of New York Times and everything. It marks the strongest indication yet that prosecutors are nearing an indictment to the former president. So if they can, you know, impeach Bill Clinton for getting his dick sucked, you know, this is more grievous, and this is more, you know, crazy that Donald Trump paid hush money to former adult star Stormy Daniels and lied about it and everything. And, you know, we should stop dropping words like likely and signals. You know, don't give any airtime to this idiot orange monster pig vomit until he's been served arrest warrants. You know, because America is sick of this crap, you know, and, you know, like Eugene Robinson said in that clip there, it seems like many felonies ago. When will he be indicted? What will it take?
Yeah. Yep. You're absolutely right, David. You know, it's so funny because when I saw this breaking news, I had put this case out of my mind. I was thinking, you know, I had forgotten about it to be, not forgotten, but it's, so, you know, from 2016, and they're just now getting to it. So, I mean, think about that. And I thought, which New York case was that? You know, and of course, it's the hush money that was paid, $130,000, you know, and Michael Cohen was the one that, he was his fixer attorney at that time, and he's the one that, you know, gave the money to her because of an alleged affair that they both had, Trump and Stormy Daniels. Now, you know, I can see him blowing his gasket right now, blowing a gasket, you know, upset and enraged, of course, and he'll go after, you know, New York Times and the you know, New York District Attorney and all these sources and say all these cruel things. But the bottom line is he did what he did. And I think I remember at that time they did have a copy of the check as well with his signature on it. So he did do it. Now, for myself, I'm glad that this is coming about, but this is not enough for me. I want more. I want him to face charges for January the 6th and pay dearly for that in prison. That's what I want. But this is a start. It's a start. It just shows that everyone is accountable. Everyone, you know, has to face their justice when they break the law. Absolutely. And he's not any different. But he thinks he is, but he's not.
Yeah, he thinks he's special. So, but why the hell did it take almost 7 years? Why did it take almost 7 years to indict him on hush money charges or accusations after we know what the deal was? Something wrong with our justice system where somebody who is elite, like Trump, can just evade justice like this and everything. And since 2016 again, you know, he says he can't release his taxes because he's being audited. But a Southern District prosecuting office in New York had his taxes. They showed he's been a liar and a fraud and a thief his whole damn life. And they keep saying indictments are coming. Indict the son of a bitch.
Yeah, and, you know, and that's the frustrating part. Like I said, I was happy to hear this. You know, it's something. It's a crumb. It's a crumb is actually what it is to me. It's a crumb, but it is something. But I am waiting for the actual pie. That's what I want. I want the actual pie. I don't want the crumb. I want the pie. And, you know, justice has to be served because it is, if it's not served before, you know, our next presidential election, this country is not going to make it. It's just not. It's too divided. It is. There's so much hate out there. It's I've never seen anything like it before. It's appalling of what's happening in our government.
And added to which, the Georgia DA also said imminent indictments are coming because, remember, he tried to get those 11,757 votes to carry him over the top in Georgia where Joe Biden, you know, whooped his candy ass and won the election. And also Arizona tried to pull up a quick stunt about, you know, recounting. Recounted three or four times. Nothing happened. And every time they recounted, Joe Biden got more votes. You know, so instead of being a decent human being and conceding, like the tradition is during a presidential, after a presidential election, up to this day, he refuses. And Fox News, their favorite station, you know, keep pushing this narrative about how the election was stolen, but behind closed doors, you know, they were texting each other and inside inside email system was saying that they don't believe him, but yet still, because their stupid viewers believe anything they say, and it's because of ratings, and big ratings equal money, they pushed the slide and instigated violence and everything, you know? Yeah. So, you know, what's their take on that and everything?
I think because I thought, why can't the FCC do something? Well, now I understand why, because it's a cable network, and they can't shut them down. I think Fox deserves to be shut down. I truly do, because what they are peddling is dangerous propaganda. That's exactly what it is. I mean, when you have tapes from the insurrection and you can make them to your liking, there's something wrong with this country. There's
mm-hmm.
something wrong with our system when you can do that. And that is what Tucker Carlson is doing. And right now he's getting away with it. Yes, there is pushback. There is pushback from the White House. They went after him, you know, et cetera. All the news stations are going after him, of course. And he's not the only one. Laura Ingraham is another one. Sean Hannity
mm-hmm.
is another one. These people
mm-hmm.
need to be sued by the families. This is my opinion, by the families
mm-hmm.
from, that were affected by this January 6th insurrection and had their lives
mm-hmm.
destroyed and family members
yeah.
killed and maimed. And then
mm-hmm.
on top of it all, get slapped in the face with this, saying that it didn't happen
mm-hmm.
or it wasn't as bad as they said it was? Are you kidding
yes.
me? They should be
yes.
held accountable. They're responsible.
Mm-hmm.
There is no amount of money in my eyes that can fix this. The only thing that can fix this mm-hmm. is to take Fox News off the air and get rid of all these primetime propaganda pushing liars. That's it.
Yes, indeed.
That's
I agree with you totally. And,
yes.
you know, you brought up the $1.6 billion defamation lawsuit against Fox News.
Yeah.
You know, the curtain has been pulled back on the inner workings of the powerful conservative cable network in the days
mm-hmm.
after the 2020 U.S. presidential elections. So the Dominion voting system, they're the manufacturers of a voting machine that was used in the 2020 election to good effect, and also in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
alleges that Fox News knowingly aired false allegations that their devices helped Joe Biden and the Democrats, quote-unquote, steal the election. And to make their case, the company has called dozens of Fox executives and, quote-unquote, journalists to testify in depositions and subpoenaed thousands of pages of their text messages and email. So coming back to haunt Fox News now, that they showed that they often hated Donald Trump internally, but never said it publicly. And the conversations that took place behind closed doors at Fox News, from the chairman, Rupert Murdoch, right on down, grappled
mm-hmm.
with Donald Trump's ultimate futile attempts to overturn the 2020 elections. Internally and behind the scenes, I increasingly mocked Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And he clashed with network regular during the early days of his 2016 presidential bid. But once he won the White House, the network's coverage was largely positive of Donald Trump, even though he's a big buffoon and don't know what he's doing. And, you know, yeah, he has the best people, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
and,
right.
and you know, Murdoch, the founder of Fox News, he's a chairman, wrote in an email
mm-hmm.
that the then U.S. president and his lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, another scumbag, were going increasingly
yep.
mad after election day in 2020. So Carlson,
mm-hmm.
Tucker Carlson, the host of the Network's top program, said he hated Mr. Trump, quote-unquote, passionately, that his presidency
yep.
had been a disaster. He predicted that soon his show would be able to ignore the soon-to-be former president. That was in an internal email. He also
mm-hmm.
mocked the former president business enterprises. All of them failed, said Tucker Carlson in a text message to a show's producer. So, you know, it's a kind of a view echoed by Trump's critics, many of whom have frequently been targets of Carlson's error on his evening program, which is real shitty, that program. I've seen it a couple times. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just, I can't get back those hours. The former president is known
yeah.
to fake slight personally, to take slights personally, and is unlikely to forget that it means he holds a grudge, and he has this love-hate friendship with Fox News, and it's very bad to hate, as he has his presidential campaign for 2024 heating up. You know, so it's drama there at Fox News between them and the Trump campaign. And, you know, Murdoch doubted the election claims from the start. But he, as chairman and founder of Fox News, should have put his foot down and said, no, nothing like that happened. You know, just
mm-hmm.
Let's call the election as is, because a lot of viewers were upset when Arizona was
mm-hmm.
called for Joe Biden.
and then Georgia. And, you know, instead of being truthful to the listeners and viewers, you know, the went with this doubt and this big lie. You know, so they're getting their comeuppance now, and I'm happy because $1.6 billion in a lawsuit is no joke, and I hope that put them out of business.
Yeah, I agree with you. I highly doubt that it will, but I'm hoping that Fox News will rethink what they have done to this country, because what they've done to this country is basically turn it into red versus blue and black versus white, as far as colors go, very extreme colors. And I don't see how they can fix it unless they actually go on their own network and say, look, we blew it up. We did it. But they will never, ever do that. They will never do that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, because
I don't know how it can be fixed. I mean, suing them, okay, you know, $1.6 billion, yes, that's a lot of money. Do I think it'll put them out of business? No, I do not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it will.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think it'll stop them? No. Maybe a couple of them will get fired, but I highly doubt that. Even Laura Ingraham, she probably won't get fired. That lady is vile. You know, it's just sad that we can't have a true system where we can honestly believe what we're being told. And Fox News, what is it like? They have how many, 30 million viewers at a time? That's a lot. That's big.
I have no idea, but Fox News sucks.
Yeah, that's what.
And, you know, Sean Hannity is no Peter Jennings, or is he no Walter Cronkite? And recently, in his deposition, in this case, you know, he claims that Trump's legal advisor was, you know, telling them what was going on in the show about the election being stolen. And in this deposition, he didn't believe her, as he said, not for 1 second did I believe her. So Tucker Carlson sent a text message to his fellow co-host on Fox News, wrote that her claim that Dominion voting machines stole the election, quote, seemed insane to me, end quote, adding that Ms. Powell, McCracken, was making everyone paranoid and crazy, including me. So, you know, both Hannity and Tucker Carlson, you know, in private, they were tolerant and even supported in public what this woman, Sidney Powell, was saying, and what Donald Trump was saying, and Giuliani, and, you know, it put the network in jeopardy, in legal jeopardy.
Yeah.
And also the charges of hypocrisy. This is such hypocrisy. It's ridiculous.
Yep.
So 2 years Tucker Carlson documented comments during the program that presented news footage of the January 6th attack on the United States Capitol, he claimed that the 2020 election was a grave betrayal of American democracy, and no honest person can deny it. So he claims that January 6th prompted derisions from the White House and outrage from some congressional Republicans. You know, so, you know, the Fox News bosses basically were obsessed with ratings and losing Trump supporters and everything. And like I said, ratings equal big money and everything. They had no integrity, no journalistic integrity, you know, to call it as it was going on and everything. And a backlash is hell now to pay.
And then we have, the Fox CEO, Lachlan Murdoch, who has Lachlan Murdoch, dismissing the $1.6 million defamation case revelations. He calls it noise. And I'm just going to read what he said because this is disgusting. He went on to say that, let me see it here, that the voting system's $1.6 million defamation lawsuit against Fox News as noise, throwing his support behind the right-wing talk channel in the first comments since the case enveloped the company in major scandal. I think and this is what he said, I think a lot of the noise that you hear about this case is actually not about the law, and it's not about journalism, Murdoch told the audience at Morgan Stanley Annual Technology Media and Telecom Conference. It's really about the politics, Murdoch continued. Unfortunately, that is more reflective of our polarized society that we live in today. Murdoch indicated that the case will go to trial in April. He portrayed Fox News as having reported the 2020 election fulsomely and without fear or favor. Dominion, however, in 2021 lawsuit that during the 2020 presidential election, Fox News recklessly disregarded the truth and pushed various pro-Trump conspiracy theories about the election technology company because the lies were good for Fox business, just like you said. So
exactly.
Yes, exactly. It's all about the money. And, you know, Lachlan Murdoch. Yes, I've never heard of him before. But anyway, for him to say that, you know, this is basically noise, is he kidding?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how stupid does
no,
he think?
No, unfortunately, he's not
are?
Kidding. Yeah.
I know. You're
yeah.
right.
I mean,
he's not
I mean,
kidding.
Lachlan Murdoch is in line to, you know, take over Fox News when his father retires or dies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I guess he's the heir apparent to Fox News. Yes, and news in quotes. The number to call, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening, to put your two cents in, 515-605-9802. Remember to follow us and subscribe to facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. Check out our new website, kitchenpolitics123.com. So when you call in, say first name, where you're calling from. Again, the telephone number, we'd love to hear from you, 515-605-9802. Hello, caller. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking tonight?
Cooking good. My name's Khalil. I'm calling from Charlottesville, Virginia.
Hi.
Okay, hello,
Khalil.
Welcome.
Hey, one of the things that bothers me, I don't know if I've, one of the things that bothered me, I got on, what's his name? Forgot his name. It's not Michael. It's,
me?
What's his
David.
Name? Not David, but, he's a right winger. He tried to say that.
Oh, you mean on Fox
not,
News? Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity?
No, I mean, it's, his name's Michael Crowley.
Oh.
Okay, Michael Crowley, yes, yes.
Yeah, I got on him because he didn't see his own hypocrisy. Like when he was saying, he was trying to say that allowing abortion bans but not allowing gun control is not hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was saying that to people like him is you don't see your own hypocrisy. Like anytime someone fires a gun in a movie or they have someone that's armed, not just armed, but people who are trained, like people who their job, they have to have a gun. You and their bodyguard, you call them a hypocrite, but when people call pointing it out for you, you don't want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that's right. Annoying things about people like you. That's what I said to Michael Crowder.
Michael Crowder, yes, that idiot. Yes, he's afraid of debating people like Cenk Uygur from the Young Turks and everything. He's just a blowhard, basically. But, you know, Khalil, what do you think about today's Republican Party and they're in bed with Fox News and what Fox News did about... you know, the election lie, pushing the election lies and everything. What's your perspective on that?
It's shameful. And then not only that, but also Fox, I mean, like, they will prove a point against anything. Like, not only that, but they have no shame in going, using what we go against for their own convenience. But if it doesn't go against, if they can't prove a point, like the border crisis or the Fast and Furious gun running thing or anything like anything like even things that are like to use to to use women against gay people or transgender people, they'll use that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not actually learning from it, and they're not using it for the right reasons.
No.
They'll just use stuff like that to prove a point.
Yeah, so they'll just pull things out of the air, throw it against the wall, and hope it would stick. And because their listeners and viewers are so uninformed, they'll just grab it and run with it. And that's sad.
It's almost like they throw red meat at these people and, you know, get them all riled up. It's just, you know, things that the words that they use, you know, like the word woke and socialism and all of that. They use all these words and these terms to get people riled up and, you know, the voting. Oh, what if, you know, what if the mail-in voting, what if, you know, what if they didn't get that, but they still counted it? Or what if, you know, they're putting doubts in people's minds every single day. And it's only for ratings and money, as we said before. It's absolutely appalling what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It truly is.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to be brought to their knees. They really do need to be brought to their knees, honestly and truly. You know, and then we have, the other thing I want to bring up, and I want to get an opinion from both of you, we have, you know, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, you know, who in the beginning, he spoke about all the violence at the Capitol building on January 6, 2021. And now, all of a sudden, you know, he's giving those videos to Tucker Carlson, and he knows that they were going to get altered. And so he did a complete 180. I mean, what kind of a traitor is Kevin McCarthy? He is a traitor to our country. He is not who he says he was. He, you know, he sold his soul to become speaker. And here we are, you know, in this mess in this country. Every single day it's something else. And we have a Speaker of the House that has no backbone. And if he wanted to be fair, he would have turned those videos over to all the medias, right? Like CNN, MSNBC. He didn't turn anything over to anyone else. No one. New York Times, none of them.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
And you know something? The thing is, just like Tucker Carlson, Speaker of the House, the current Speaker of the House, has no credibility. And, you know, what deals did he make, you know, to become Speaker of the House after 15 tries? For example, it was learned publicly that when he's not available or present in the House of Representatives, the Speaker pro tempore is Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know. So you gave her that position, a woman who, you know, don't know anything about anything. She's not, you know, she's not you know, on top on the issues and everything. Because, for example, I'll give you a quick example. She was asking for a debate with AOC for the past month, maybe 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, AOC accepted her challenge and a debate on the House floor. And within minutes, AOC demolished her. It was so bad that Marjorie Taylor Greene got up and, like, ran out and everything. That's how embarrassingly painful it was.
Yeah,
how AOC, like, wipe her face with the floor and everything. So how can a stupid woman like Marjorie Taylor Greene become Speaker pro tempore in the absence of Kevin McCarthy, who's a dumbass himself, but at least he has years of experience and, you know, somewhat know the issues and everything, even though it's skewed and twisted in the right-wing, strict, twisted way. You know, I mean, none of them that's in the House are qualified to be Speaker. That's how bad they are. Policy-wise, they have no policies to get America moving forward. Work with Democrats. And a debt ceiling coming up, and God knows how that will go. That's my perspective.
Yeah.
How about you, Khalil? What do you think?
Yeah, Marjorie Taylor Greene is not really, I don't see her as a good person, because she was harassing David Hogg. And basically she came up with a bunch of different conspiracy theories. And once again, these people only care about their own rights. Like I made a comment on Wayne LaPierre's. Well, first I'm going to say that Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's like Alex Jones running for running for the running for politician. That's what she's like, in my opinion.
Well, I think what she's doing is she is kowtowing to Trump so she could run as his vice president. That's what I think she's trying to do. And when she had that debate with AOC, that blew up in her face. And, you know, if Trump saw that debate, you know, he would not pick her. That's for sure.
Yeah, because it was the Oversight Committee of the House where AOC is a ranking member. And and Marge retired at Green, brought up wokeism. And when AOC asked her to define wokeism, she couldn't do it. And what's wrong with wokeism? You know, you show compassion and care, you know, that, you know, you're finding jobs for people. You know, that you're trying to, like, bring them up. You know, what's wrong with wanting to be a better person? You know?
Yeah.
And they can't define socialism. Go ahead, Kevin.
I was also making a comment to NRA one time. I was saying to them, you guys didn't really care about Brian Terry, because NRA is a right-wing organization. And I said, you didn't care about Brian Terry, because if you cared, you would take this time to learn about gun violence, and you wouldn't just use Brian Terry's death to prove a point. You know, that's what I said to what's his name? I forgot his name. His name's Wayne LaPierre. I said that to him. I said, if you actually cared, you would take time to learn from this. You and Alex Jones and all of them would not just use this to prove a point.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. You're absolutely right. They would have learned the lesson, but they have not learned the lesson. You know, there's no doubt about it. Even Mitch McConnell, you know, how I feel about Mitch McConnell, you know, I mean, he said it's a mistake to underplay the violence of January the 6th. I mean, that's coming from Mitch McConnell. Think about that. So they have really, I mean, I have to, you know, you have to give credit where credit is due, because, you know, Mitch McConnell was not my favorite person. At least he has the gut to stand up and say, you know, they can't do this. Fox News can't do this. They can't misrepresent and lie every day on television. It's wrong. You know, he said it's offensive and it's misleading. So, you know, he'll probably be next on the chopping block, you know, for the Republicans. But, hey, you know, it's just disgusting.
It is very disgusting.
Oh, yeah, and Marjorie Taylor Greene, she claims that it's a national security threat, that our borders are too open and everything, and fentanyl has come across borders and all sorts of nonsense, without evidence, really, you know. And Zuma Raskins, rightly so, was fed up and demolished her on the House floor and everything. You know, I mean, how does this woman operate, you know? Can she walk and chew the gum at the same time? You know, I don't know which one is worse in terms of stupidity, her or Lauren Boebert. You know, because these two women are, like, worse than Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann. You know, as I said in the last show, I'll repeat it again, Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene makes Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann look like Rhodes Scholars. That's how stupid and dumb and ignorant these women are. And, you know, I work for America because they're in, you know, positions of power and these powerful committees and everything. And Boebert herself tried four times for the GED before getting it. I mean, my little 14-year-old nephew can pass a GED test the first time. You know, my little 3-year-old niece, you know, could, you know, probably read and spell better than Boebert. You know, so, I mean, this is where we're at in America, where we'll have, you know, a kakistocracy running things, and that's dangerous. And what is a kakistocracy? Is dumbass people who think they're brighter than everybody and know everything,
running things and places in power and everything, and have the purse strings and everything. You know, and I really worry for America because the debt ceiling coming up and everything, I'm going to have these morons in charge of committees and everything. You know, it's crazy. It's frightening.
Yep.
And they're wasting their time every day with these panels, you know, these health panels that they have. Now they're doing the weaponization of the government, That's, you know, and they're taking aim at the Department of Justice and the FBI. They're wasting taxpayer money on garbage and Twitter and bringing those, you know, executives in and grilling them and wasting days and days. Like AOC said, there was 8 different committees that were scheduled in a week. And she also went on to say that once she left that committee that day, when she went back to her office, there were residents, people that were from the Palestine, Ohio train derailment that have not been able to get any help or answers as to what they're to do about the tragedy that happened there. And she sat and spoke to them. That's what they're supposed to do. That's their job. But they had to travel there from Ohio, and she said they were wandering the halls looking for someone to talk to. Now, is that sad or what?
Really bad.
Really bad. Sad. Upsetting.
Yeah.
Because Palestine, Ohio, has been a solidly red district for the Republican Party since, you know, Richard Nixon. And, you know, and Trump went down there that day and everything, showboating and everything. You know, so the poor people of Palestine, hopefully they'll learn a lesson that voting Republican is bad, because Trump took no responsibility for not putting through Obama's, you know, the law that Obama said into law about safety and everything. And this is what happened. And just recently, another derailment in Ohio. Don't know if anybody got killed, but it's like, you know, they never learn. It's all about making money. Just like the Republican Party is about making money for the friends and corporations, not giving a damn who they're supposed to represent. And Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert are chief among those, because look at Lauren Boebert when she came in to office. She was one of the poorest in Congress, and she had a little shitty restaurant and bar, and went bankrupt. She had closed and everything. The food was so bad there, it food poisoned a couple of people. She had to be shut down by the authorities. You know, and within 2 terms, she just passed her second term this past 2023 in January, another 2-year term, and she is one of the richest in the House of Representatives. How does that happen in under 4 years? How?
Yeah, it's just,
you know?
it's so wrong, you know. It is so wrong.
Yeah.
So wrong. Excuse me, so wrong. And there's also an article, since we're talking a little bit about the Norfolk Southern, the CEO has declined to commit to pay long-term health costs after train derailment. Does that sound very familiar?
Yes, it does.
You know, it says they were testifying before the state, before the Senate on Thursday. The CEO of North Fork Southern stopped short of making commitments to pay for East Palestine, Ohio residents' health care in the wake of a train derailment that spilled hazardous chemicals in the town. Asked by the Environmental Public Works Committee, Senator Tom Carper, whether he would compensate people for possible long-term medical costs and economic damage, the Norfolk Southern president and CEO, Alan Shaw, did not directly answer the question. He went on to say, "Senator, we committed to doing what's right for the folks of East Palestine. I told my team we're going to do more than less with the environmental cleanup, and we're going to do more than less with the citizens of Palestine." I'm committed to do what's right, he said. We're going to be there today, tomorrow, a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. But he did not commit to paying, you know, paying for the medical costs for these people.
Yeah. Added to which, they went from door to door asking people to sign this document saying that, you know, the made an inspection of different houses and everything. And, you know, once you sign that paper, that document, in the future, you cannot sue them for negligence. A lot of people in East Palestine did sign that. So, you know, they have no legal recourse. How can you sign something that you haven't read through,
Well, you know, they trust it. Maybe, you know, you have to I'm thinking like this, but I don't think I would sign it. But there are people that are will sign it. Maybe they're elderly. I don't know. And, you know, they are terrorized, first of all. They come there with sympathy, telling them that they're going to help them. But please sign this paper so that we can help you. Right?
Nobody can be that dumb or awkward or naive to think somebody who, come on. But Khalil, listen, thank you for calling in. Really appreciate when you call.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care.
Yes, man. That was Khalil from West Virginia. Long-time listener and frequent caller. We love when he calls in and everything. Interesting things he has to say. Rose, when you call in, say first name, where you're calling from, 515-605-9802. Hello, Michigan. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking tonight?
I'm only going to listen to the first half. I'll jump in later.
Okay. This is Elaine from Michigan.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. So the next thing that's on the agenda here is George Santos. Well, actually, before we reach George Santos and everything, I don't know whether to laugh and congratulate Congresswoman Lauren Boebert. She's about to become a grandmother at 36 years old. Her 17-year-old son knocked up his girlfriend, and the hypocrisy is so,
I
don't know what to say or what to think. You know, cause I don't sound like, I don't wish this kid well, you know,
based on whose grandmother is going to be.
Go ahead.
You know, they talk about, you know, family values, blah, blah, blah. At 17 years old, you're going to be a father at 17 years old. You're not even graduated from high school, you know, family values, right? So
yeah, much less have a job, you know. You know, this poor kid. This kid is going to be so screwed up, especially having a grandmother like Lauren Boebert, who don't have an education herself. He's dumb as rocks. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, he can go in looks, but you know, for so long and everything, because with age goes beauty, and she's all right looking and everything. But after that, what happened next? You know. So this poor kid will go through hell. He's probably going to need, you know, counseling. You know, having a grandmother like Lauren Boebert. She's too goddamn stupid, for real.
Yeah.
You know, and, God, I don't know what to think or say about this woman that I haven't said before in the past and everything. I don't want to keep repeating myself, but Lauren Boebert makes Sarah Palin look like a Rhodes Scholar. It's scary.
Yeah.
It is scary as hell. No, on to George Santos. George Santos was a mastermind at his ATM fraud thing that happened in 2017, according to his roommates or former roommates who told the feds was investigating. Santos, quote, this is a roommate, Gustavo Ribeiro Trelha. He said, quote, Santos taught me how to skim cards, card information, and how to clone cards. You know, and this roommate, Gustavo Ribeiro, was convicted of felony access device fraud this past Wednesday in a sworn declaration submitted to the FBI. So George Santos orchestrated a 2017 credit card skimming operation in Seattle, and the man was convicted of fraud and deported to Brazil, said in a sworn statement declaring federal authorities Wednesday. I'm coming forward today to declare that the person in charge of the crime and creditor fraud, credit card fraud, when I was arrested was George Santos / Anthony DeVolder. Gustavo Rivera wrote in the declaration. It was sent by express mail and email to the FBI, the Secret Service New York office, and the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Eastern District of New York, according to the copy of the receipt from the United States Postal Service. This article can be found in Politico, and it was written by Jacqueline Sweet on March 9th, 2023. You know, so this guy, George Santos, talk about lack of credibility. You know, what is this guy still doing in Congress as a member of Congress? He should have resigned a long time ago.
Resigned? He's not the type to resign, David. He's a narcissist. He's a sociopath. He's one of those that has no conscience. He is all about survival of himself, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And he will con anybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen this type before, and he is seems like he's a 2.0.
Yeah, yeah. And you know when you're bad, a bad liar, and even Trump call you out, and you know you're really a real sociopath when a psychopath like Donald Trump can call you out on your lies. So he lied last November 2022 after lying on his campaign trail about his education, work experience, and supposed Jewish ancestry, and a House Ethics Panel initiated an investigation to George Santos to explore possible unlawful activity. I mean, come on. The receipts are there.
So
what are they investigating?
Yeah.
It's related to his run and everything. And Brazilian authorities also probing Santos related to a string of potential financial crimes in Brazil. So how did he become a U.S. citizen when he was a wanted criminal in Brazil? Santos admitted recently to embellishing parts of his background, but said he never broke any laws. Of course he broke laws. You know, who was a campaign manager? Who was a campaign treasurer, I mean? You know, you can't be the candidate and treasurer at the same time. Conflict of interest, you know? And
absolutely,
the person who he said was his campaign treasurer denied ever being involved with a campaign as treasurer or any other capacity. So, again, he keeps lying and lying and digging himself in a hole. What taking Republicans so long to expel this bastard? Why? What happened?
Well, I think we know the real reason why, because they need his vote to vote with them. That's it. I mean, don't you think that's part of it? You know?
Yeah, yeah.
They could make one of their own look bad. I mean, you know, we know, but they don't know that. So why bother? You know, no one's making enough noise. He shouldn't be there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone that was hired in his circumstances in any other corporation or job in the world would have been fired the first day when they found out his resume was stacked, packed, lies. But he's still there.
Yeah. And according to Trella, his former roommate, he rented out a room in Orlando, Florida, the Met on a Facebook group for Brazilians living in Orlando, Florida. And it was in Winter Park, Florida, this apartment was and everything. And he learned how to load ATM and credit cards through George Santos and everything.
Yeah.
And Santos kept a warehouse on Kirkman Road in Orlando to source skimming equipment. Now, if you have skimming equipment, that's automatic jail time. Kind of FBI don't play around with things like that. He has a lot of materials, the parts, the printers, the blank ATM, the credit cards be painted and engraved with stolen accounts and personal information of people, unsuspecting people out there. So Santos gave this this warehouse, had this warehouse and everything, illegal credit card information to do his bidding, his evil bidding, and rip people off and get people in trouble financially. You know, why is this man not in jail? How much more evidence do
I
we
don't
need?
Know. I, there's something not right with our justice system. It moves too slow. Like you said in the top of the show, you know, it's taken from 2016 until 2023 that we might get an indictment for the Stormy Daniels thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's 7 years. 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
You can grow a lot of gray hair in 7 years.
Right.
So,
added
yeah,
to which, they use a computer to download information of people's credit cards and everything, and
yeah.
use external hard drive to save the filming
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Because the skimmer took the information from the card, and the camera took the
mm-hmm.
password. So, you know, the shyster, you know, George Santos, I mean, he's a criminal who should be in prison.
Yeah, he
you know,
should have been arrested.
Thank God this person, was caught when he was and exposed
yeah.
George Santos for the fraud that we all know who he was. You know, God, this is atrocious where a known criminal, a liar, is serving
yeah.
in Congress.
Yeah.
It's pathetic, really.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and you know, the funny thing is that he shows no shame, you know? It's just,
yeah.
it's beyond understanding. You know, if you are
mm-hmm.
a person that can, you know, has empathy or compassion, knows the difference
mm-hmm.
between right and wrong, you know, you would be
mm-hmm.
so embarrassed to show your face,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
but he's not. I mean, Romney
yeah.
and him had words, remember? Sent Romney
yes.
and him had words.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so,
and Mitt Romney did
him.
Write.
Yeah.
Romney did write to say, "You don't belong here. You should resign."
Yes,
that was Romney's
did.
Words to him. You know,
yes,
and
did.
You know, according to George Santos, he did nothing wrong. He did a lot of things wrong, George Santos.
Of course,
the correct thing,
yeah.
the right and decent thing, resign.
Yeah.
You know, because right
exactly.
now he's not serving on any committees because of the investigation.
And yeah,
so
he's
not
money.
Serving on any committees. You know, he's just collecting a paycheck for not doing anything. You know, and American
yeah,
people deserve better
money.
Than that. The people in District 3 of New York deserve better than that. 515-605-9802. Yes. 515-605-9802 is the number you call. Say first name, where you're calling from. We'd love to hear from you. Hello, caller. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking?
Is it Sue that you were calling in Michigan?
Oh,
yes,
hi, Susie.
Yes. Hello, Susan. Welcome.
Well, you guys are right
welcome,
on Santos. I mean, the Republicans are just desperate for his vote because he's worthless, and I mean, he's so crooked, it's ridiculous. But the
mm-hmm.
GOP, because we were talking about them tonight, is deliberately
mm-hmm.
trying to take over the government. All the way from,
mm-hmm.
you know, county boards, school boards, states,
mm-hmm.
and so forth. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, voting rights, they're trying to take them away, you know, away from everybody, especially in
mm-hmm.
low-income and minority neighborhoods. And
yes.
mm-hmm.
it's just, they're methodical about this, you know, gerrymandering
mm-hmm.
and making people out in Arizona drive, that are 5 miles from the voting place, they can't drive the bus, take a bus to go vote. I mean, it's ridiculous
mm-hmm.
what they're trying to do to people.
Mm-hmm.
And it
mm-hmm.
makes me really mad. They're trying to take
yeah.
away our rights. They're trying to reduce Medicare, Social Security, women's rights,
mm-hmm.
health rights. I mean, we're the only country, like I said before, that doesn't have basic health care. I mean,
mm-hmm.
but we can give the businesses, big corporations, $2 trillion tax breaks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
mm-hmm.
get it. This is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Yeah, well, in Trump's 4 years, they got $7 trillion in total, both corporations and rich individuals and everything. You could just run it off of $7 trillion. And that's why the deficit shot up so bad. Where were these Republicans
mm-hmm.
when that was happening? They gave Trump a blank check and everything, no accountability, just gave him a free rein to do whatever he wanted as president, no insight, no oversight, no nothing. They gave Trump everything they wanted. You know,
yep.
so how is that beneficial to America? It's not. Because the middle class
it's
and the
not.
Working families there suffer like hell, you know?
Yeah.
And then the Republicans have a nerve now to say Democrats, oh, they want to spend and help Ukraine. Oh, they want to spend on infrastructure. you know, oh, they want to spend on women's health and education and whatever else, a lot of things, but yet still they want to give more corporate tax cuts. Tax cuts don't work because trickle-down economics don't work. You know, from 1929, when what's-his-face, the president back then was Herbert Hoover. They didn't have a word for it yet, or you know, trickle-down economics didn't exist. But basically, that was what Herbert Hoover was doing. It shit on the economy. It collapsed. Wall Street collapsed. You know, and ever since then, Republicans have been trying the trickle-down effect. It doesn't work. You know, if you believe in trickle-down economics, then, you know, I can sell the Brooklyn Bridge to Martha Deal. Because these people are out of their fucking minds. They don't learn. Yep. And the people who vote for them don't learn. They say, oh, my grandfather was a Republican, so I'm a Republican. But look at the policies. What do they offer? Nothing. They're not offering anything to move America forward, to help working families, to help the middle class grow. You know, and Joe Biden put in this budget here recently that would make, you know, raise taxes of corporations and everything, because for far too long, corporations has not been paying their fair share taxes. And it's a $6.9 trillion budget proposal by Joe Biden, tax the rich, cut the deficit, and take on a GOP. Because the GOP not offering anything. So Joe Biden released a federal budget Thursday, today, and set the stage for a re-election campaign, reviving plans to raise taxes on the wealthiest Americans and corporations to expand the government's social safety net and transform the economy. So in this $6.9 trillion package, it will make Social Security solvent for 75 more years.
And the Republicans are already screaming about it. I listened to his speech today, and it was wonderful. And he's raising taxes on everybody over $450,000 a year, which is only right, and doing all these wonderful things that we need and that the Republicans cut off. So, I mean, I get upset because the Republicans are only in it for the money for themselves. They're being bought and paid for by the big corporations, and they have to go back to the limited campaign funds instead of unlimited, and corporations aren't people. They're big money machines. And he wants to also tax the buyback stocks from big corporations, like the oil companies and stuff. I was jumping for joy when I heard that one. And he's going to tax, he wants to tax the oil companies because of their extreme profits and the pharmaceuticals, which is only right. They're making their money on the backs of the people, and that is not right.
And, you know, the pharmaceuticals, we know that we all get over, everyone's overcharged by the pharmaceuticals, and they're just making billions of dollars. So, yeah, they need to pay their fair share. So that we can continue, you know, doing what's right in this country for people that need help for our roads, our bridges, our infrastructure, our water, for better paying jobs, for manufacturing, for everything. You know, we are going to be, we are so behind. When I see the trains, like in Europe, they're you know, like they're not Amtrak, but their train systems in Europe. They are amazing. They're amazing. We don't have anything like that in this country. Why are we 20 years behind? I mean, it's awful. We should be able to go from city to city on a train like that. But no, you can't. You know, it, and it makes you so angry. But, you know, and we're,
it was, you know, it was Eisenhower after the war that did all the infrastructure. He put all the soldiers to work, and he built our country, and he was a Republican. He would be rolling over in his grave.
And he taxed the corporations and the super wealthy, you know, and it worked, and we'll have infrastructure. Thank you, Ike, for doing what you did. You know, and he moved America in the 20th century. In terms of, you know, not having dirt roads and, you know, the infrastructure was there, building bridges, building roads, building schools, what have you. I got it. The current Republicans didn't get it, you know.
No.
And they
still
haven't
done anything with those same roads. The bridges are falling down. The roads are falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
And, I
mm-hmm.
mean, it costs a lot. And look at the railroads. The railroad
mm-hmm.
tracks are awful. Then you got the train companies that don't maintain their trains and don't have anybody watching the train. One guy watching
mm-hmm.
a mile-long train, and look what's happened.
Yeah.
Another crash today.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's terrible, you know, and it's all about money. And, you know,
exactly.
the funny
mm-hmm.
thing is that the funny thing is that I feel like this is what this is my opinion of what's happening. These companies are these corporations are saying, oh, people don't want to work. They don't want to have they don't want jobs. You know, I've talked to a few people in the past few weeks and they said I have put out so many different applications, but I never get a call, not even for an interview. I truly believe that they are working their people to the bone, who they have there, and saying that no one is applying. I believe that with all
mm-hmm.
my heart. So they can continue
mm-hmm.
to rake us over the coals and charge us more for everything. I believe that.
Exactly.
I
mm-hmm.
I do.
And
you know?
Added to which, the standoff with Congress. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just – the other thing I was just going to say is that I feel like also we were talking about the Republicans, and someone
mm-hmm.
just sent me a message and said they, the Republicans, also banned books, put down people because they are not like them, let everyone have guns, keep church and state together, not separate. I agree with that. I agree with that statement
yeah.
that was sent to me. Absolutely.
So,
that's what
yep.
all about.
So basically, it's like a culture war. They keep going on with this culture war bullshit, not putting forward economic policies and programs
yes.
that they want to go through to help America. But culture wars.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yep, and they blame the other, you know.
Yes.
They're the white
mm-hmm.
supremacists. It's all about us. And we say what
mm-hmm.
goes and screw everybody else. And that's what is
exactly.
happening right now.
Joe Biden is pretty smart because what he's going to do, he's going to back them in a corner. He's going to tell them,
mm-hmm.
this is my plan. This is what I want to do for the country. This is my budget.
Mm-hmm.
Show me your budget. They don't have one.
Exactly.
He already
yeah.
mentioned that today on his speech. Show
mm-hmm.
me what you got.
Yeah.
You know, the last time Republicans had a budget was 2013. You know,
mm-hmm.
that was the last time they put a budget forward. That's how bankrupt the
yeah.
Republican Party is. You know, and
yeah.
and the standoff with congressional Republicans over raising the national debt ceiling to avert
mm-hmm.
economic crisis coming up in summer and everything. And you know, Joe Biden asked them in this speech there to show which programs they want to cut. As he unveiled the proposal to extend sovereignty for Medicare, for national paid family leave, which we don't have. Other countries, less developed countries, had that since the 60s and the 70s. Subsidized child care, free community college for low-income students. Shit like that has to be done.
Yep.
Joe Biden trying to get it done, but Republicans don't want it. Why? Because they want
yep.
tax cut for rich and corporate people.
Yeah, that's all they want. They don't want them to pay
mm-hmm.
any tax, you know, and that's the bottom line.
I have relatives in France and in Italy, and they go to college for free. They have child care from the day they're born for free.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yep.
you know, they manage to pay extra taxes, but everybody has a great life compared to us. They have basic medical care. My sister-in-law is a diabetic. She can't see to give herself a shot. A nurse comes to her house twice a day to give her a shot.
Can you imagine that happening here?
And she's in
Never.
A little village in the mountains. She's not
Never.
Even in a big city.
Never happened here. Never.
No. I mean, we're a disgrace. Really. It's a disgrace. We
yeah.
were, you know, the people work hard all their life. They're working one and two jobs, and they can't afford. Their rents are ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend that's living in a mobile home and paying $1,600 a month for it, and it's a dump. That's ridiculous.
That's who can afford that? I mean,
nobody.
Then you have to buy, you know, food, which, you know, they keep talking, you know, the Republicans keep on blaming, you know, President Biden for the inflation. Wrong. It's the corporations that keep charging more money because we have no choice, because we have to eat and we have to pay the money. It's either
exactly.
You pay for what you're charged or you don't eat. And
exactly.
That's what they're getting away with.
And they're making tons of profit and buying back their stocks all for their corporate, you know, their stockholders. And the people are screwed because they can't afford.
Yes.
I live in a resort community right on Lake Michigan. And, you know, they keep on saying they're going to build low-income housing. Well, they put these big buildings up. And they're supposed to have maybe 10 low-income houses, you know, apartments or condos in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're only good for 5 years. Then they can raise the rates ridiculously high and people have to move. But in the meantime, they get tax breaks, the builders do. You know, so it's just such a scam. It's just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. People can't afford food and medicine for their kids, and yet they're working their butt off.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
check this out, ladies. You know, the budget that Biden put forward includes about $5 trillion in new taxes over 10 years. And a key proposal popular among the progressives in the Democratic Party who serve in Congress is a billionaire minimum tax that would require the wealthiest 0.01% of Americans to pay at least 25% on their income, including on appreciating assets. You know, so that's a higher rate than a 20% minimum tax for billionaires Biden proposed last year. And the thing is, nothing going to happen now because we have a Republican House. And, you know, the Senate version, not going to happen because Democrats don't have the vote because of cinema from Arizona and that guy Manchin from West Virginia, you know? So, I mean,
years
again,
ago, I remember when, I don't remember what president was, is try to do a minimum tax rate of 11% for everybody, no deductions whatsoever. I mean, the rich, no matter what, it was 11% across the board. No, it's the very poor, you know? And, I mean, because they're going to do the deductions and they wind up not paying anything. They'll deduct this and that and the other thing because they can, but the only ones they'll pay is us, the poor people.
Can I ask a question?
Oh, yes, Lynn, go ahead.
All right, my question is this. Who is bankrolling from dog catcher all the way up to Washington? Who is bankrolling them? Every person that runs for office? Us people?
The Koch brothers.
Or corporations?
Richard Milenski. Corporations.
Don't you think that maybe that's the root of the whole problem?
Oh, sure it is.
For sure.
We all know, Elaine, what the root of the problem is. I mean, it's very visible. It's straight on. We know it's these big corporations that are, you know, buying these people. We know that they're buying, you know, telling them, you know, what to say, how to run, and, you know, how to legislate. Because
eventually they're going to buy the Democrats.
You know, pardon?
I mean, come on. You keep buying and buying. They'll buy the Democrats, and then we won't have anybody.
Yeah, well, I mean, if that day comes, then, you know, then we're done. I mean, then the country's done. Mm-hmm. And that's because it's only the Democrats right now that are fighting to keep this country going forward. That's all we have right now.
But in all fairness, I hope you don't get upset with me for saying this. In all fairness, Democrats have their special interests too, like the teachers' union, labor union, what have you.
Yeah.
And you have to fight fire with fire, basically, because if Republicans doing it, why shouldn't the Democrats do it? Until we have a change system where citizens united and special interests come out of politics. Do what Britain and Europe do, where you have X amount you can spend on campaign funds. You can't go over that limit. You can't have corporate contributions, you know. And if somebody individually contribute to your campaign, it's public knowledge of who contributes and how much. and you don't go over a certain threshold in campaign spending, because Tory conservatives and Labour and Liberal Party in Britain, that's what they do. And corporations try to come in there and try to set up a system like America, but people rallied against it and ranted and raved and said, no, this is not going to happen, because we saw what happened in America and everything. You know, but back to that point you were making, Lori, where nobody wants to work or anything. You know, I said differently, where because I see people coming almost daily where I work, a great place, a great kitchen, great staff. You know, Deanne is one of the best bosses I ever had. Canela is awesome. Love them dearly. And the thing is, if we had more workers, we'll open even later. And, you know, jobs are there, out there. But why aren't people going out there and getting so many jobs that are open now? Why do you think is that? It's because of the wages. Because people want $15 an hour. And some places, you know, like start out at $13 an hour, caught at, you know, $13, $13.50.
In child care, women can't afford to work because child care is so expensive. I mean, like my son's after school program was $400 a month.
Wow.
Yeah. That's just from 3 to 6, 3 hours, $400 a month.
Yeah. Well, David, you do have a point there. I was talking more about these bigger corporations, like Kroger, for instance. I know for a fact, because I know somebody that works there, and they're always understaffed at Kroger's. I hate that store. I only go there if I absolutely have to go there. I hate the aura. I just dislike that store. And the cashiers are always upset. They're overworked. And but I was talking to one of them because I was looking for a product. And she took me over to, it was breadcrumbs or something. And so she took me over, and I said, you guys have them way in the back. She goes, well, we don't have enough help, enough staff to get things out on the shelf. So that's why this stuff is sitting here. I said, what do you mean? People aren't putting in applications? And she said, oh, yeah. There's a stack of applications. She said, but they don't want to hire anybody. They want to work us all to death. That's what she said to me. And I thought.
So basically part-time, where you don't have any health insurance, no dental coverage, life insurance, and pay them peanuts. Yeah.
Yes.
So the mega corporations paying peanuts.
Yes, that's
we're working people to death.
And that's more of what I was speaking about, talking about. It's more like that. But, you know, the smaller businesses I can see, like a bakery that's family-owned, or there's, you know, there's places that are family-owned, restaurants. I understand that, you know. They can't afford to spend a lot on their employees. And if they want employees to work there, they will. If they don't, they don't, you know. But these other, like Kroger, they can afford it. It is the second biggest corporation as far as grocery stores in the country. They make billions a year. So, you know.
My husband worked in a factory. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I was just going to give an example about people working.
Kroger's is buying up another chain. They're buying up, I think it's called Alvin's. It starts with an A.
Albertsons.
They're buying them up so that they're going to have more of a monopoly over the food. It goes back to what I said to begin with. It is the corporations that are buying everybody from dog catcher on up to Washington. And yes, Steve, you're right. We were fighting back with the unions, but what did they do? They're trying to dismantle the unions.
Yep.
I was going to say, what my husband's factory said, if you don't pay well, he said, you pay peanuts, you get monkeys. You got to treat your people good or they don't work for you. They don't put out the time. They don't like their job. So if you treat them right, pay them right, they will stay there. His company that he's retired from have second generation people working there. There's got to be a reason, right?
Yeah.
If it wasn't good, kids and your grandkids wouldn't work for the corporation, right?
No, they wouldn't.
You have to treat them right. and pay them right.
Yep.
Well,
that's all people want.
Another observation that I've seen, why are they sending all of our support staff in the medical industry overseas? Every stinking job you can think of that support staff to the medical industry is going overseas. I'm talking about you can't even make an appointment anymore unless you're calling overseas.
Oh, the call center.
You're trying to make an appointment in Detroit or surrounding areas. This, I'm giving an example in a big city. And you say to the person, well, I don't think I could go to that clinic. That's 45 miles away. And then all of a sudden you start catching different accents from different countries and the way they phrase things. It's English, but it's not the same English we use. And you realize you are calling another country, and they are looking at a computer. They haven't got a clue that the west side where they said that you could go to this clinic is 50 miles away. And they're doing that in every stinking health industry that you can think of, every hospital in this country. I know I was on the phone 2 hours today trying to get an appointment.
Really? Oh.
Now, let's go to the insurance company. After I finally got an appointment, I had to clear it through the insurance company.
You're kidding.
Now, what are the computers for? Nothing?
I know.
Another problem.
People have been complaining
when I go to the doctor, the people have are complaining. They're out of work. They can't get work because they haven't got access to a computer. Their interviews are done on a computer. Or I will call you on your phone and I will interview you on your phone. And they got what they can afford, and they don't have all the fancy gadgets on their phone. So therefore, they are losing out on jobs.
You have a great point.
Yeah.
Because
it's a big picture. It's a really big picture.
It is. I've never experienced that yet, Elaine. So
Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I'm done.
Well,
it's
tests that I needed. It took me 2.5 hours to get an appointment for tests.
Wow.
And I was talking to overseas operators.
Wow.
Yeah, because, you
can
know,
I
before where before before I start working where I work now, I went to like 4 or 5 different places. And it's all through computers, and it's all through, you know, the apps that they have and everything. And poor me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm computer savvy. You know, sometimes there's a glitch. Sometimes, you know, you put your resume several times through, it don't happen. You know, you just get frustrated. Mm-hmm. What's happened to the old days where people can just go in, talk to somebody one-on-one, hand them your resume and say, hey, you know, check this out. I have this experience. You know, I'm qualified in doing this. You know, it's like they're looking at you like you're weird, like, oh, which planet are you from? So it was a good point by Elaine, you know, and
Wow. Can I ask you what health system that is?
Detroit Medical Center downtown. They're big. We're talking Harper Hospital. We're talking
I'm very familiar.
Carmanis. They're all connected.
Wow.
Children's Hospital. Mount Sinai. I can't think
Harper
of them
Hospital.
All right now. I
know what you're talking about, though. Yeah.
You know, the big circle downtown, the big medical circle.
Yeah, I know. I'm very familiar with that circle. Yes.
They've got two girls down there where I go to physical therapy. And when there's a problem, they're on the phone with overseas operators pulling their hair out.
I can't imagine that. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
And this is within about the last 10 years. It's getting progressively worse.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it comes down to probably they get paid peanuts. It's worth them. It's worth it to them for the money part. They don't care about the patient waiting 2 hours to get an appointment.
This is part
of
healthcare.
They're saving money.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I agree with you. I'm just saying. That's
you know,
logic.
Until you're sick,
you know?
You don't realize it. When you go
mm-hmm.
once a year for your physical, you know, and everything's fine, and you get your, you know, you get
mm-hmm.
your COVID shots, your
mm-hmm.
backup shots for the COVID or whatever,
yep.
and you get your blood checked. You don't realize it until something happens and you need more than the average care. Then it starts
yep.
falling
mm-hmm.
into place, and you can see the difference. I can see the difference
oh, yeah.
from last year to this year.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
just terrible.
Wow.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we do depend on technology, probably too much.
Way too
yes,
much.
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I go and
get my phone. They tell me I qualify to get some help towards my phone bill. I don't know how to go through those apps. And I
mm-hmm.
wait on the phone for 2 or 3 hours to get somebody, and I'm still waiting for the information to come through the mail. And I probably will
mm-hmm.
never get it.
So then
the Republicans say the people that need the programs don't want them. I can't
mm-hmm.
get it, or I can't even see if I qualify.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's
never
it's,
ending. It gets to the point, it's just totally frustrating.
Oh, it is.
And maddening.
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll let you guys go. Continue.
Oh,
okay.
No, Mary. You make some good points. Well, thank you for that and everything.
Yeah,
and before
absolutely,
we take this other
Elaine.
Call, I want to plug special people who are listening. Cinnamon Cafe, when you come to Albuquerque, New Mexico, there are two locations, Nob Hill, the Cinnamon Cafe in Albuquerque. They're at
mm-hmm.
Central Avenue Southeast. In Albuquerque, New Mexico, Cinnamon Sugar and Spice Cafe. Best food, breakfast
mm-hmm.
food, lunch food. They have crepes and all good stuff and everything. They have the cinnamon bun. Oh, my God, you'd kill for it. Coffee is excellent.
mm-hmm.
Cinnamon Cafe in Wantabo Boulevard in Northeast Albuquerque. Divine place. When you go to that place, lines going through the door. People love
wow.
that place. I say why. The best food in Albuquerque, New Mexico, barring
mm-hmm.
none. I swear to God. You have to check these
okay.
people out. The name, Cinnamon Sugar and Spice Cafe, Nob Hill on
mm-hmm.
Central Avenue, Southeast Albuquerque, and Wantabo Boulevard, Northeast Albuquerque. Cinnamon Cafe, the best
mm-hmm.
food there is. You know, so they're open
oh.
usually from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. You know, go on by,
mm-hmm.
and if you want a job, they're always hiring. I promise you, they're always hiring. So go there and check
yeah.
out the food. You know, sign
mm-hmm.
up an application for a job. The job is yours. Once you're qualified and you dress well and no pants
mm-hmm.
on the ground and gold teeth and, you know, tattoos
mm-hmm.
on your face, then you're good. But anyway, let's get back to the show and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, man. So another thing that we'll have to talk about, really, is Joe Manchin.
Mm-hmm.
He will vote against Joe Biden's pick to head IRS. Joe
yeah.
Manchin is a Democrat from West Virginia. On Wednesday, yesterday, he announced he will vote against Daniel Warfel, President Biden's choice to head the Internal Revenue Service, the IRS, because he's unhappy with how the Biden administration is implementing the Inflation Reduction Act, which provides nearly $80 billion in new funding for the Tax Enforcement Agency. So Manchin is fuming mad over the administration's implementation of the generous electric vehicle tax credits that were also included in the sweeping climate and tax reform bill passed last year. And, you know, the alternate energy, which Joe Biden is for, cut into the profits of big oil, which Joe Manchin is a part
mm-hmm.
of. So that's why he,
mm-hmm.
you know, go against everything Joe Biden tried to put forward at every turn. The administration
mm-hmm.
has ignored congressional intent when implementing the Inflation Reduction Act. That's what Joe Manchin said in a statement.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about this Joe Manchin blocking again one of the picks by Joe Biden?
He is repulsive. He's not a Democrat,
mm-hmm.
that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And he's only thinking about himself and his pocket and the coal money. That's all he's thinking about. Nothing
mm-hmm.
else. It's very vivid as to what he does and for what reason. He's got to keep
mm-hmm.
his yacht gassed up. There's no doubt about that. And whatever
mm-hmm.
vehicles he owns, you know. And notably so, I have to say, there were 6 Republican senators who voted to advance Werfel on the procedural vote held lunchtime Wednesday. There was Senator Bill Cassidy, Susan Collins, Chuck Grassley, and Tom Tillis.
And Lisa Murkowski.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And Lisa Murkowski.
Mm.
Okay, I didn't see that. Okay. And Lisa Murkowski. So, and he's the only one that voted against Biden, and he's a Democrat. So,
mm-hmm.
hello. When is he up for re-election? That I'd like to know.
2024. Yes.
Yeah.
He's up for re-election 24 in West Virginia.
Yeah, it's time for him to go. You know, that's all
yeah,
I can say.
Yeah,
I'm
but
just sick of him.
They don't have open primaries in West Virginia, and Democrats are supposed to renominate him if somebody primary challenge him. You know, because West
mm-hmm.
Virginia at this point is like a conservative purple state.
I know.
And the thing about it, though, Joe Manchin has threatened or hinted that he is thinking about running for the Democratic nomination for 2024.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a colossal waste of time because he's hated mm-hmm. the Democratic caucus, you know, even more
yeah.
than Kristen Sinema from Arizona.
Yeah.
So that would be a waste of time
okay.
and energy and resources.
Yeah.
You know, the way he votes may as well be a damn Republican because when
That's
Trump
what
in
I'm
there,
saying.
He went with Trump at least 70%
yeah.
of the times. Knowing full
yeah.
well Trump was fucking us over. But no, Joe
yeah.
Manchin, look out for Joe Manchin and don't give a goddamn
yeah.
about America. That's the problem with Joe Manchin. He's not a Democrat.
Yeah.
He's a dino.
No.
But I digress.
Nope. Yeah. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. He's only got the D next to his name, but he's not, that isn't what he is.
He's bought and paid
for.
That's what he
yeah,
is.
He's for him, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's just for himself. Bought and paid for, you know. Like I said, he's got to gas up his yacht.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Keep his lifestyle going. God forbid.
Mm-hmm. And next
yeah.
Wednesday is the vote to confirm
mm-hmm.
this gentleman. And it's only 3
mm-hmm.
Democrats may miss the vote because Senator Dianne Feinstein from California was hospitalized
mm-hmm.
for shingles. As we know,
yep.
John Fetterman, Democrat from Pennsylvania, the new senator, admitted himself last week to Walter Reed National Military Medical Center for treatment for depression. And Senator Tom Carper from Delaware announced that he had COVID this past Tuesday. So he isolated
mm-hmm.
himself at home until he recovers fully. But according to the
mm-hmm.
Senate Finance Committee Chairman, Ron Wyden from Oregon, he said he doesn't know of any other Democrats on the committee who will vote against the IRS nominee. So it seems like
mm-hmm.
Joe Manchin going to kick rocks because they have the vote, enough votes to
mm-hmm.
confirm this nominee
mm-hmm.
by Joe Biden. You know, so
mm-hmm.
this guy, Joe Manchin, should just go to hell. You know, I wish he just,
yeah,
you know, choke on a chicken bone and die. That's how
yeah.
reprehensible this is.
Yeah, he's just constantly, you know, stirring
mm-hmm.
the pot. And we have enough to deal with on a daily basis
mm-hmm.
In this country.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's not making it any easier for anyone. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we all know that. So
Yes.
And I'm happy that President Biden has brought up this budget. And I'm happy that he's going to back the Republicans in a corner, as, you know, as he did at the State of the Union, because they, like we said, they have no plan. They have no budget. They have nothing to put forward for the American people. And they need to
mm-hmm.
have the veil taken off and shown
mm-hmm.
that they're not good for America. They're not good for working people. Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy with Joe Biden. I think he's doing a good job. I think he's doing his best. He's constantly on the go. He's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
He's amazing. He really is amazing if you think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
you know, and they make fun of him. You know, they make fun of him when he stumbles when he talks. So what? Stumble when they talk. I stumble sometimes when I talk. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, everybody does. It's so childish.
Well, he stuttered as a kid. Sometimes he talks over himself. But did you listen to Trump's speech and how he mispronounced so many words when he was at that conference?
Oh, yeah.
Comedians had a ball with that one.
I know. Yeah. So, like I said, you know, President Biden has stood up to his promises. I think, you know, that he's delivered as best he could in what we have in this country going on. And, you know, I can't really complain too much. But I can complain about the other side. Absolutely.
Indeed. Yeah, I think we had Madeline on the phone, but she got cut off or she hung up. She was waiting for this bit and everything. We have 20 minutes left and everything. We're talking about here, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, to share the truth about the Republican Party, Season 4, Episode 18. And we're talking about how it's morphed into a right-wing, conspiracy-driven, lunatic fringe party, ultra-right-wing, white nationalist promoting garbage, basically, you know, everything that's bad for America, their support, and that's what killing America. They don't have any plans or solutions for the problems of America. So call us and tell us what you think. 515-605-9802, the number to call. Share the truth about the Republican Party, the topic and everything. And when you call in, say first name, where you're calling from, all that good stuff. And remember to turn off your TV or turn it down because the feedback is bad for the listeners and for us. So the party of Lincoln and Ike is no longer and everything. Do you think the Republican Party can make a comeback in terms of, you know, integrity and having good people?
No, I do not. And I'll go one step further. Yesterday, the Tennessee House Republicans passed a new bill that completely gutted marriage equality, allowing the government employees to deny marriage licenses to same-sex and interracial couples.
Interracial?
Wow.
Yes.
Jeez.
And interracial. In Tennessee, this was yesterday in Tennessee, the House Republicans passed that bill.
They can still marry cousins, though, huh?
Can
they still marry cousins? Can they still marry cousins?
Yeah, they still can marry cousins.
Or child
brides. And have sex with animals. And have sex with animals.
Yeah. So this is what, you know, this is where we are. That was my answer to your question, David. No. To me, I see no hope. I truly see no hope. I don't know where it's going to come from unless people get smart, mad enough to vote these people out in every single state. But it's not going to happen. I can't see it happening in my
life. But voters' rights have to be restored in order for them to go vote. They shouldn't have to wait 10 hours in line and take a day off of work to go vote. That's ridiculous.
Yep.
It should be mail in. Everybody should be registered and call it good. I mean, you know, there shouldn't be hoops to draw, you know, and make it it shouldn't be a one day deal either, you know, if you're voting in person. People work. And you know, they got things going on. They can't do that one day, then they can't vote. That's ridiculous.
You know how you solve that, Susie? The best way to solve that is make voting day a national holiday. Australia do it. And if we have that as a national holiday, there's absolutely no excuse. Unless you lying down.
I think they do that in Europe, too.
Unless
you're
lying down about to die in the hospital, there's no excuse. And Australia add a penalty, a financial penalty, a fine, if you don't vote. And you're a registered voter and everything. So we should have that system like that in America where, you know, this day is a set day for elections. you know, from primary right to election day. And if you miss it, you get fined X amount, you know, and that would work so much, you know, unless you're not registered to vote then, you know, you know, you're free. But, you know, talking about elections, open primaries compared to, like, closed primaries, do you think that there should be open primaries in every state, or that would bring a whole barrage of problems? Starting with Lori, and then Elaine, and then Susan.
I'm not I like open primaries, but you might be right about bringing in trash, like, it's hard to say. I think I like the open primaries.
Yeah, I don't like open primaries. Why? Because the Republicans come jump in the Democratic primaries and vote the worst candidate. Somebody like a Lauren Boebert or Marjorie Taylor Greene or Donald Trump, and then vote for their primary person in their caucus. And they're strong, you know, so it's lopsided.
Yeah.
What do you think, Susan and Elaine?
Yeah, you're probably right.
I would like to see the whole voting thing like in Britain, like you said before. You know, you only can spend so much money. You only spend 2 months campaigning, not 4 years to campaign for an office. And and have, you know, you can do it by mail or in person, but, you know, not have more precincts that they can go vote in instead of closing them and make it more convenient for people and make it a holiday. But, you know, they won't listen to me.
No.
It's fair and equal voting rights. Yeah, everybody's available. Mm-hmm. You count everybody's votes. You don't have fake electorates in the like our capitals, they, you know, messing with election machines and all that that happened last time. It's ridiculous.
Yep.
They said that they stole the guts out of some of the machines and everything.
I know.
I mean, this has never happened as long as I've been voting. Since I was 18, you know? It's crazy.
No. I agree.
This has got to stop.
Agree.
It's got to be fair and equal and honest. I don't know. I'm depressed.
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
the question is the primaries. Well, the primaries are set up that the party that you believe in, you should be able to go to the polls and pick out your best candidate. I do not think that you should be able to go to the polls and say, well, I'm going to vote this one, this side Republican and this side Democrat. No, nothing's perfect, and I think the way it's run now is about the best way. So if you're a Republican, you pick out who you think you want. It, you know, your best, and if you're a Democrat, you do the same.
And independent, so coincidentally, independent voters, you know, can vote in one primary but not both, you know, so, you know, like you said, a system not perfect and everything, but, you know, there's some independents lean Republican, some lean Democrat, you know, so... I mean, no political system is perfect, but, you know, we'll have
everything's
the best
not working. I don't care what it is. I mean, nothing's perfect.
No.
Absolutely
not.
So, ladies, do you think that Trump will get indicted?
Probably for tax evasion.
Like
isn't that how they got Capone?
Yes, yes.
You don't mess with the IRS.
Because word has it from my source in D.C. on Capitol Hill, one of the sources, is that he is working behind the scenes, his people, to try to cut a deal with Joe Biden to pardon him. But I doubt that will happen. You know, I can't see Joe Biden forgiving Donald Trump
better
for everything he put on. We put, you know, him and Hillary and Obama's through. Donald Trump is orange vomit. He's scum, you know, and to forgive him,
for all his indiscrepancies, what he did the 4 years he was in the White House. It best spit in the face to the American people, whether you're a Democrat, Republican, or a decent Republican, or independent, or libertarian, whatever. Trump is an asshole, you know?
Yeah.
But I ask another question. Suppose Trump is indicted, but Republicans nominate him anyway, and, you know, he's the candidate. It's too late to change candidates, and he runs and he wins. This is a big hypothetical, but he's in jail, you know, because this is so unprecedented, this case, you know? What do you think will happen?
He can't run if he's in jail and indicted. It doesn't. He's not God. And I would think that he would go to jail for stealing confidential and high top secret stuff. And you know he was giving it off to Russia and China or whatever for money. He had a purpose of stealing the record, you know, the secret files and stuff. That should put him in prison alone with the tax stuff. That's too big no-nos.
Yeah. He did say, though, even if he's indicted, he's still running for president. He said it.
He could run. He ain't going to be on the ballot.
I don't know about that.
That'd be against the law.
And the GOP chair, Rona Rodney McDaniel, did say that every Republican running have to sign a confidential, or not confidential, but a loyalty oath that whoever the nominee is, they'll support. But Trump refusing to do that, saying that if that happens and they don't choose him, he's going to bolt off with his supporters, you know, and split the vote. And splitting the vote was, say, earlier in presidential campaign when Teddy Roosevelt split the vote with the Bull Moose Party back in 1912, was it? Or 1914, was it? And Woodrow Wilson, he was a Princeton president at the time. No experience in politics, just a Princeton president, ran as a Democratic nominee. And William Howard Taft ran as a Republican. And Teddy Roosevelt split the vote with Taft, making Woodrow Wilson president of the United States. So that may happen again, and I'd love to see that happen again. You know, what do you think, Lori?
The only reason he's running is to stay out of prison. He thinks, you know, I'm president, then they can't put me in prison. But they got to hurry up. That's all I say. Get his ass in jail.
Yeah, well, before the nomination process completes.
Well, it says, I just pulled up an article because I thought I had heard this before. Trump could still be elected president if indicted or convicted, experts say.
Are you kidding?
That's what it says. According to law, former President Donald Trump can be elected president if indicted or even convicted in any of the state and federal investigations he is currently facing. Experts tell ABC News, but there are practical reasons that could make it a challenge, experts say. So there's really no legal
precedent.
That never happened before. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
No.
That's a nightmare.
Yeah.
That's a nightmare.
So he's going to be like Netanyahu in Israel found guilty and all that of corruption, and now he's president again. And Venezuela, the same thing.
Yeah.
We're a third world country now.
Well, that's what he thinks. That's what he thinks.
Yeah.
That's why he said what he said. Don't you?
Mm-hmm.
There's someone already told him that. So,
Yeah.
And he is determined.
Hello, Carla. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking tonight? Hello, Carla. Don't be shy. We'll have like 10 minutes left. Is this Madeline, 231 error code?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay, the person not talking.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Go ahead with your point. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off like that.
That's okay. I was finished. It's fine.
Oh, okay. Yes,
I just think, like I said, I think that someone has already briefed him that, you know, he can still run no matter what because he believes he is, you know, who he is, and he can do whatever he wants, bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
and he will challenge it. He will challenge it.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
Yeah.
I just want to talk for 1 second about Michigan because I'm really proud of what they're doing. As everyone knows, we have a blue legislature now, a governor, attorney general, secretary of state, and the House Dems voted to enact universal background checks on all firearm purchases, expand the Civil Rights Act to add protections for the LGBTQ plus community, repeal Right to Work, which they did, and restore the prevailing wage. They did that as well. So the Democrats in Lansing are working hard to turn things around for all the destruction that's been done all these years in Michigan. So I'm very happy to report that. So I think gun legislation is going to be, well, they did the universal background check, but they still have to do the red flag law and there was something else that they were going to do. I'm real happy about all of it. So it was nice to see that they're actually going to enact the universal background check. That's really good.
Yes, ma'am. That's very good. I wish America would just follow suit like in Florida and Texas and Arizona and places like that. But they're so obsessed with guns, you know?
Yeah.
You know, the bigger the gun, the smaller the penis. That's my saying.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everybody deserves to have a gun, but be responsible with that gun. And there's no reason why anybody should own an AR-15. That's madness.
Exactly.
That's for a war.
No.
And
absolutely.
They need to be trained on them, so they lock the guns, put that lock on it. They give you for free on the trigger. So a grandma doesn't put her gun in her purse and her grandkid shoots her in the back.
Yeah. That was the other thing, safe storage. Safe storage. That's the third thing.
Go ahead.
I was just saying that more children die of gun violence than they do of illness and car accidents now put together.
Sure.
It's
you
ridiculous.
It.
And it's only common sense and safety. What's wrong with safety?
Yeah, they don't care. They don't care about money.
It doesn't give them money. That's all.
So, you know, speaking about guns, the Republican from the 2nd District of Alabama, he was sponsoring that bill saying that, you know, it should be a national gun, the AR-15. And inside that bill have this this thing that say that silencers should be made mandatory. Now, why the fuck would you want a silencer to be in law? Why? So you can murder people and get away with it because you have a silence on. That's madness.
Well, that's the logical. That's the most logical explanation I can think of.
Yeah.
Why else?
Doesn't he have any children or grandparents or something that go shopping at Walmart that could get shot down or their kid get killed at school, and that our kids now have to do guns? Gun warnings and, you know, we used to do tornado things, go underneath the desk, but now these kids have got to hide from shooters. It's ridiculous.
And I have got through drills about if somebody attack, like, you know, a school shooter. But yet still, you know, these right-wing nut jobs getting triggered when, you know, the sad drag queen. And so, oh, my God, you know, what's happening here? You know, influence my kids, my grandkids, you know, and it's it's from the devil. Look what's happening in, was it Oklahoma or one of Bible Belt states where they make it illegal, you know, to have drag shows. Was it Tennessee, I think? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, geez, man, get with the program, people. I mean, I never hear a drag queen raping a child or influencing a child or what have you. You know?
Absolutely.
When you had to catch the predator, catch a predator show on NBC, who are the people who are getting caught? Respectable people in the community, like teachers, doctors, lawyers, judges, you know, married men with kids, you know, who are grandfathers. You know, you never saw a drag queen get, you know, arrested. because they're trying to like have sex with, you know, a minor. Look at Matt Gaetz, you know, raping McForehead in Congress from I think the second district in Florida. We have the receipts that he crossed state lines to have sex with minors, children under 18, bribe them with gifts and pay the school fees and everything. But yet still, he still serves in Congress. What is that? And you run on family values. That's the shit I'm talking about. And that's why I keep getting disillusioned with politics, because these motherfuckers, Republicans, and even some Democrats like Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema in Arizona, talk a good game, talk shit. You know, and then when they get in there, they say, okay, bend over, America, no Vaseline. You know, it's sickening, it's repulsive.
It sure is.
Yeah, but I digress. I was hoping that Madeline would call back, because when I saw her, you know, she hung up on everything. I do apologize to Madeline for that. And if you want news in New Mexico, abq.news is a good source and everything. That's the... The paper, that's the name of the newspaper, the paper. They're online and everything. You know, check them out. And Cinnamon Cafe in Albuquerque, New Mexico. One is on Knob Hill on Central Avenue. The next one is in Wantabo Boulevard in Northeast Albuquerque. Great food, breakfast food and lunch food. They're open 8 a.m. To 3 p.m. Check them out if you want a job. Make sure you come in, fill out the application. They're always looking for people. There are good people who work there and everything. So do check them out. So wrap up time. We have 3 minutes. Lori, where do we go from here? Do you think there are a stalemate in you know, the debt ceiling? Quickly.
I think at the end it'll all work out. But I just wanted to read something real quick as my closing statement.
About 3 minutes.
Okay, very quick. This is President Harry S. Truman, and he went on to say, socialism is a scare word. They have hurled at every advance the people have made in the last 20 years. Socialism is what they call public power. Socialism is what they call Social Security. Socialism is what they call farm price support. Socialism is what they call bank deposit insurance. Socialism is what they called the growth of free and independent labor organizations. Socialism is the name for almost anything that helps all the people. There it is right there.
Yeah.
And that's all I wanted to say. Yeah. We need more humans in our world.
Yes,
and
we do.
Eisenhower.
Elaine, quick. Yeah, Elaine, quick closing comment.
Quick closings. We don't have a perfect world, but we better start working on it.
Yeah.
Yes. Susie, your closing comments.
Yes, I said I hope we have another Eisenhower, too. I mean, they were Republicans, but they cared about our country. The Republican Party needs to change.
Yes, yes, indeed. I don't think that'll change anytime soon. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kitchen Politics 123 for Thursday, March 9th, 2023. The topic, Season 4, Episode 18, The Shared Truth About the Republican Party. When people tell you and show you who they are, believe them. Well, thank you for joining us. Go on to facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123 and check out our new website. Articles coming, I promise you. It's www.kitchenpolitics123.com. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I'm David Franklin, New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. Good night, all. See you Monday.
Yes, ma'am. All right, so till next time, same place. Join us again for another episode of Kitchen Politics 123. Good night. And happy St. Patrick's Day when I come. Good night.
Good night.
With a robin night. Tell me, Mara, is the house of the Lord, 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 the Lord
know I'm gonna be the man who working hard for you. And you're going to do a car for the money paying on to you.
When I I'm gonna be the man who comes up on to you. I'm gonna be the man who's going on with you. I'm going to walk 500 miles and I will walk 500 more.
Okay, I'm out.